The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manning.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. This week, once again, there's no exception here. We've got a great guest today. We're going to talk about some predictions about 2024. I know we're already into this year, but there's a lot to unpack there. And we're also going to talk about some tips for how to manifest. And it's brought to you by Rebecca Dawson, who is a channel from, I believe it's Perth, Australia. And Rebecca works with a collective called The Masters. And we're also going to talk directly. I'm going to ask some questions directly to The Masters right here on Guys Guys Radio. So we're going to get some information from some interdimensional collective beings, if you will, quote unquote, for lack of a better word, about what's happening now, what's planned for our planet, what we can do to live our best lives, and how we can create the lives we really want to create. And I think these are things that are of interest for everybody. So I think it's going to be a terrific conversation. We've had Rebecca on the show previously and The Masters, and it's always been a delightful, fun, insightful, and loving conversation. So I think you're really going to enjoy it. So, you know, 2024, as the masters say, supposedly going to be filled with change and filled with a lot of activity. And not too much has happened so far as of when I am recording this show, but there's a lot that could be happening throughout the coming year that people have been talked about. Like, we had a little power outage the other day where we had some of the cell phone service went down. People are saying or asking, is this part of a solar flare? There's a lot of people wondering about disclosure, people wondering about our crazy economy where, you know, there's so much debt, yet the stock market's through the roof. We've got this election cycle coming up where nobody's pleased with the two-party system's candidates. At least what the polls say is like 70% of people would rather have other candidates. I know some people prefer, you know, one side or the other, but I think there's a lot of baggage that comes with both. And it would be nice to have a fresh start because going into the future, apparently we're going to be facing a lot of changes, some bumps in the road that could turn out to be very good ultimately for humanity and planet Earth. But that's the scuttlebutt. That's what everybody's been talking about. What happens, when, how. We're going to get into all of that with Rebecca as she channels the masters. She's been channeling since she's about, I think, 18 years old. And so much has come through. And I have found by working with Rebecca, our conversations and reading the books, her books, and also listening to her free live presentations on the internet, on YouTube, that the information from the masters is becoming easier and easier to digest and more in layman's terms, if you will, where we can absorb it and put it into action. So I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation today. We're going to talk about 2024, as they call it, and how to manifest and what some of the mistakes people make trying to make things happen and create the life that they want to live. So Guys Guys Radio, great show coming up for you. Here we go.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, this is the Guys Guys Radio interview portion of the show. And today we've got a very special guest. Today we're going to talk about 2024. We're going to talk about reality. We're going to talk about what's real. We're going to talk about channeling. And our special guest, a return guest and a friend of the show, is Rebecca Dawson. Let me tell you a little bit about Rebecca. She's from down under in Australia, an international consultant, speaker, author. She's been channeling since a spontaneous event happened to her at the age of 18. 30 years delivering wisdom and teachings from multiple aspects of source, including the masters Serapis Bey, Saint Germain, and Kuthumi, Master Kuthumi. She delivers leading edge information about humanity's shift to multidimensional experience, the mechanics of reality, and our human blueprint. She works globally in fields including natural medicine, business, education, new technology. She's considered a teacher of teachers and assists those already working in the field of new energy to help amplify their experience and their capacity. She's facilitated thousands of personal channel sessions and conducted dozens of workshops, retreats, seminars all over the world. She's author of 3 books, New Human Experience, The Game of Purpose, and The Agreement. Welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, my friend, Rebecca Dawson. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm great. Thanks, Robert. Gosh, what an introduction.
And that's our show for today. So. But welcome back. I wanted to talk to you about, you did a couple of free seminars, as you do every now and then, where you channel the masters and we talk about different topics. This one, the last two were about kind of what is reality, what's going on in 2024, and also about manifesting, because it's on the tip of everybody's tongue these days. But before we get to that, I just want to, for context for our audience, you're a channeler, and I know you work with this collective called the Masters, but I didn't realize until I was reading your bio this morning that the Master Serapis Bey, Saint Germain, and Master Kuthumi, how do you work with those three, or are they part of your collective? Is it the same group you always work with?
Well, that's a great question. So when I first started channeling, when I was quite young, it was Serapis Bey that came through first. And then over the years, as I started to work more with groups and bigger audiences, I had Saint Germain come in and then Kuthumi. And as my channeling has developed over the years and my own consciousness has developed, my experience of that has changed. So there was many years where each one of those masters would come through and it would be a bit of a different flavor or a particular topic that they like discussing. For example, Serapis was always really interested in the science and engineering behind reality. And Saint Germain would talk more about, you know, the makeup of the human experience and how we exist as souls. And Kuthumi would be very much about the very personal experience of being here in this world. But the more expanded my consciousness became, the more I began to identify as part of a unity consciousness or as a we, a collective, the more that those individual aspects started to braid together and become the masters. So when they come through as a collective energy.
Now, how did you know, like, it was Master Serapis Bey, and then Saint Germain, and then Master Kuthumi? How did they identify themselves?
Well, that's interesting because to me, they don't. So in the beginning, of course, when I started channeling, I didn't know what was going on or what was happening. It was only through interactions with others, if they would ask the question, that was then revealed.
Okay. And did you know how to differentiate them? So let's say you had to ask a question or you began channeling and Master Serapis Bey came through and another time Saint Germain came through. Could you tell the difference as to who was who during the session?
In the beginning, yes, because there was a very different flavor and the articulation and the language would be slightly different. Mm-hmm. The mannerisms would be slightly different and the subject matters. But after time, they all started to feel so resonant with each other that it became difficult for me personally to tell the difference. I believe that people who are participating in workshops and sessions could tell the difference quite easily. But for me, it all started to just blend into one stream of consciousness.
Now, throughout your life, since you began channeling, do you get like a tap on the shoulder, like new information for you, Rebecca, from the masters? Or do you have to kind of go down and then call them in?
No, it seems to come out. So that's my view of channeling has shifted in that regard too, because in the beginning it was really bringing something in. So, you know, my body really had to cope with those changes and there were certain techniques and in being comfortable with that experience. But because I've been doing it for nearly 30 years now and it's such a daily expression, it's now something that comes out. So it's more relaxed. So in that regard, if there is any new insights or information or little nuggets, it actually just arises in my awareness. Mm. And like most people who become very inspired through, you know, the divine in creation, whether it be writing a book or painting, you can tell the difference when something arises from you because you think, wow, that's an incredible insight or thought. I never would have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel you're a different person, if you are, from the time you began channeling in a more serious way till now?
Well, I mean, first of all, that's such a breadth of time. So I think we all mature and grow and change over time.
Of course.
My view of life has certainly changed. Life has become a less personal experience. So it's less about my personal endeavors, my personal journey, what it is that I need to learn, where is it that I need to go. And now it's more about representing a consciousness and in many ways acting as a doorway to wisdom or a different view or perspective of life. So it's really been a series of, and in some ways, cataclysms, personal cataclysms, where I've been invited to drop who I think I am, drop my identity, which, you know, anyone who's gone through anything like that, it can be very painful, whether it be through an illness or a separation or loss of a job. It's that shedding of the personal that allows you to step more into the magnitude of who we really are. So I feel as a person, that's probably the way that I've changed the most. There's not a lot of personal agenda left with how I approach life. I'm sure it still sneaks in from time to time because we all have a personality.
Do you ever ask yourself, why me, or have you along the way, or is that far behind you now?
I think that's far behind me now, for sure in the beginning, because I was so young, I was 18. And also I feel back then, channeling was something that was particularly, or at least in circles where people knew what channeling was, which wasn't easy to find in Australia at that point. Channeling was something that was kind of reserved for special people, or it was to be revered in some way. And I was super aware of that at a young age, and it became quite disconcerting to see people say, oh, you know, you've been chosen for this. And it felt really weird because mm-hmm. I've always kind of felt that there's nothing really special about me or what I do. And indeed, that's become the teaching. Everyone has a capacity to be at one with everything that's available. But no, I think that's a very dangerous, might not be the right word. It's a very dangerous way to look at things. If you're in the position that I'm in, to say, well, I must be someone special for this to be happening. I think that's not a great road to go down.
Okay, let's get to the masters who you're working with, and hopefully we'll get them on the program in a little bit. But you had a kind of a free workshop a couple of weeks ago about 2024. What is reality was one of the themes. And everybody wants to know what's going on for 2024. We hear so much about great shift, a collapse, words like reckoning happening, and they all came through in your channeling session with the masters. And I think a lot of people are concerned. And like today, as we speak, there was a phone outage and people are putting things in the news feed about, oh, solar flare. And everybody's like stocking up on food and water and everybody's like waiting. It's almost like the collective is creating these things through fear or whatever. But the consciousness seems to be everybody expecting something's got to break because the whole system feels broken. And everybody wants to be kind of done with it in a way to bring something new on that's going to just wash away all of the bad taste that a lot of people have in their mouths about everything that's going on in our culture these days. So what do the masters say about what we can expect for 2024 and how can people prepare for that?
Well, first of all, what a beautiful articulation. Thank you. First of all, change as we know it is inevitable. And while we can oscillate between I really want change and I don't want anything to change, in essence, an awakening consciousness will always seek change. because that's the nature of consciousness. That's the nature of the divine. It wants to continually expand and experience itself in a multitude of ways. I think that the question is, do we approach the inevitability of change with fear or with anticipation? And anticipation really wires us to be curious about change so that we can really ride the wave of that. So that's important. The masters talk about 2024, as they call it, 2024, in terms of the year of the pioneer. So this is a year where the new systems and structures that everyone's been hearing about for such a long time, there's a lot of inner wisdom and a lot of people saying there's new things coming. This is where the shoots of that start to appear. Now, we often think that everything has to be completely destroyed in order for something new to be experienced, because we've been living in a reality where we've been in circular motion. So something has to end before something begins. However, as we move from third dimensional reality, which is all about that cycle, into fifth dimensional reality, we experience more pulsing in and out. So we experience, oh, we've got a glimpse of something new and now we can see the old, a glimpse of something new and now we can see the old. That's 2024, but we now begin to be invited into focusing more on the shoots of new that are coming through and focusing less on the dissolving of the old. And this is the invitation the masters give us for this year. This is a year where that which is not working or that which has been concealed becomes very evident. But they make a point that this is not the year for retribution, where we focus so much on the reckoning of, well, this is wrong. How are these people accountable? How is this structure going to pay for what it's done? Because what that's doing is it's keeping us in the old. Rather, we begin to observe that that's happening and then focus our attention, well, what else is emerging now in light of this? What else is emerging now that this has become visible? So revolutions that have occurred over the history of humanity, whether it be physical revolutions in terms of ice ages or huge so-called catastrophic events, or whether it be social and political revolutions, have really been quite cataclysmic, because it's really been all the focus on what was lost, the death of the old. Who's to blame? How did this happen? That kind of thing. Whereas now we have an opportunity to say, it doesn't have to be a cataclysmic death of the old. It can be a, now we can see the truth of this. Now let's put our attention on fostering what's coming forth. So that, in essence, is what they have to say about 2024.
Now, that's a great way of looking at it, and I hope everybody's really listening closely, because instead of focusing on the past and keeping us in that cycle, we start to look at, well, here are the opportunities that are emerging. Let's nurture them. Let's grow them. Let's put some water in that garden and bring some sunshine in there, because that's really where our future is going, instead of going on that treadmill as we usually do in the 3D world. A couple of things that came out when I was watching the seminar a few weeks ago about visionary leadership emerges. Is that part of this year? Is that part of the election cycle? Is this part of just overall worldwide that we're going to have new leaders that are kind of rising up that'll be more people focused, if you will, more benefactors for humanity versus a lot of the corruption that we see nowadays?
Yes, this is the year where we begin to see that. Again, very important. Are we focusing on what's being revealed or exposed as no longer working, or are we focusing and bringing our human attention to fostering what's coming up? Because remember, what's coming up might not be something that is already within our awareness. And that's the same with political leadership as well. So there are new leaders and new people that can come through and really be ushered in with our consciousness and our attention, if that's what we're focusing on. The human attention is very, very powerful. And with all of the themes that the masters speak about, it's always based on the collective, which means that it's happening globally, it's happening nationally, It's happening regionally and it's happening personally as well. So even in your own personal experiences, new people that you're inspired by, new people that you start to think, wow, this is a wonderful person that I would wish to keep abreast of what they're doing. So it's in every sphere of your reality.
Now, was there going to be some type of a shift when we go from the 3D to 5D, where some people, they don't want to go to the 5D. They don't want these new things. They like it. They want to go back to the way things were, keep things the way they are. And if that's the case, is there going to be a split in timelines? And are people going to actually experience life differently? You could have friends where some people are kind of moving ahead and others people are like, I want it to be this way. And will they experience different realities?
Well, what's really important to take into consideration is that within third and fourth dimensional reality, third dimensional reality is something that appears to be fixed. It's material. And fourth dimensionality is the time sequence or the linear time encapsulation that keeps that reality contained. So when we speak about a collective experience, we speak about timelines, in the third, fourth dimensional reality, it's one that we all, it appears as one, and this is it, and this is what everybody in the world has to deal with, because that's the appearance. Now, when you move beyond, your vibration moves beyond that containment, you start to realize, and sciences and physics are already telling us this, that there isn't one reality that's existing. There's multiple realities that are coexisting. And that comes down to, again, there are multiple global realities, there are multiple national realities, multiple regional realities, and multiple personal realities. We all have our own experience of the Earth reality and our human experience. As our vibration increases, we start to become more aware that there are different opportunities and different versions of every event that we can now choose to focus on, because we're not being presented with one collective version. Now we begin to see that there's choice. Now we begin to see that there's all of these other possibilities. So in context of your question, as this vibrational shift is occurring, it's not a question of does everybody move into the same timeline or do the timelines split? It's that we now become aware that there are an infinite number of versions of realities and timelines, and we will exist personally within a collective reality where there is a vibrational resonance. So what this means is the more conscious you become, the more your reality is going to be based upon other people and experiences that are resonant with you existing within that reality, which means that life becomes more harmonious. And other people, perhaps, that you would describe as not wanting to shift into that will continue to exist in that version of reality with other people that also resonate and vibrate with that.
Is that based on perception and witnessing, or is it based on also the 3D aspects of things actually physically happening? So in other words, if a starship landed, you know, on the beach in California, would that be seen by only some people, or would everybody see it, but it would be perceived and witnessed differently? But the physical aspect of it actually would occur the same.
Well, but remember that physical manifestation is just a manifestation of what's occurring vibrationally.
Okay.
So if there's enough agreement, if there's enough people there who are all witnessing it vibrationally, it then becomes manifest. And this is why belief is so powerful in our Earth reality, because if enough people believe it, it becomes material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can work both ways too. It can be a good thing, and so many times, and I think right now it's not a very good thing, because fear is so pervasive, and it seems like the media is, whether it's intentional or not, they're feeding the fears.
And of course, because what is the media other than a merchant of belief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oof. So we talk about new technology in that kind of workshop that you gave. 5 to 8 years of new technology. anything further that you, the masters articulated about what those types of technology, or is it across the board? Is it for healing? Is it for energy? Is it for transportation? Is it AI? What did they give you any indications?
Well, all of those areas, but more importantly, what they have shared and what they wish to share at this time is the structure of how information and creative sciences can begin to be developed, which will require different systems. And they will require systems that enable humans to be able to not only adequately communicate and co-create with each other, but also interact with technology that responds to that interaction in that moment. And at the moment, we have systems where that are pre-programmed, and depending on the interaction, you're going to get a response that sits within that programming. So what we're speaking about now is new platforms that actually meet humanity where they are and begin to create from that. Now, some people would listen to that and say, well, that sounds like artificial intelligence.
Exactly.
But artificial intelligence, to a certain extent, is still a program.
Yes.
So there's something else that is very likely to emerge within the next 5 to 8 years that will become an information, data sharing, and creative platform that enables more instantaneous creation, but also responds to the innate human intelligence and enables it to flourish.
Okay. One of the key takeaways was the term you used earlier, being like a pioneer. So as these changes occur, the masters were urging us to like be like children, be open-minded, be wide-eyed, be curious. And that's how to approach these changes that are happening and will be happening starting with this year. Could you articulate further on that, Rebecca? And my special guest here on Guys Guys Radio, forgive me, I want to remind everybody, it's Guys Guys Radio. My special guest is channeled Rebecca Dawson from Australia and now the US.
Thanks, Robert. So being a pioneer in 2024, what does this mean? Well, let's look at the distinction between being a pioneer and being a settler for a start. Because when you're a pioneer, and maybe because I'm Australian and, you know, we're all about pioneers.
Exactly.
We have history of, more recently, history of being a colony. Pioneers, in essence, are the ones that go out and discover and check out the lay of the land. They're willing to have an experience there. We're willing to test and have, you know, some time there. And then they move on. And settlers are the ones that follow the pioneers and make camp, and they create structure, and they begin to identify with that location and build infrastructure, all of that sort of thing. So 2024 is really about being a pioneer, which means not only will an incredible number of people, if they haven't already, start to leave the lives that they were in and begin to venture into, I don't really know what I want or where I'm going, but I'm just going to explore for a little while. But it also means that those who are willing to do that and are called to do that are the ones who are paving the way with the choices that they make and what they discover for other people to come and settle in that. And that's really important, because vibrationally, if you're willing to move out into the unknown and say, well, I'm curious about life, I'm not attached to what I thought that I had created or who I thought I was, and I'm just going to really try lots of different things and experiment, where you go, others vibrationally now have a place to settle. Mm-hmm. Because 2024 and onwards, there's going to be an incredible proportion of the population that's going to be looking for change. And this is the big shift, because people haven't really looked for change unless it's been a forcible revolution. Mm-hmm. And this is now, well, that person went and did this, I'm going to go and do something like that. And then they settle, and then they start to build a new infrastructure. And this is the new world that humanity is moving to. So that's what we speak about when we say being a pioneer.
Now, we you also had a second presentation, another free one online about a week ago, and it was about manifesting. Now, everybody wants to learn how to manifest, and I think most people do it wrong. But everybody claims, I manifested this, I manifested that. And the title was called Upgrading Our Reality. And the masters were talking about we create and we are acts of creation and use manifestation for expression, not for collecting. So it's not about getting a new Cadillac. It's really about experiential things. And the secret to creation is in our individual beings. And then they laid out, and you laid out this beautiful articulation of how time works, where instead of working with the gaps, if you will, witnessing and being present, we're constantly unraveling and laying out time to make kind of an autopsy of it and looking at it and examining it and making judgments on it instead of participating in the now. And when we participate in the now, that's when we can create. There's a kind of a gap, a back and forth. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. But the creations occur in those gaps. Is that something close to what they were talking about?
That was so beautifully articulated. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And it was really humorous to me when they started using the word autopsy, that we perform autopsies on things with our minds. Our mind wants to reverse engineer everything. Yes. So that if we say, well, I desire, firstly, I don't want to have a Cadillac. I want to have a desire. I want to have an experience of what it feels like to drive one, because that's feeling state driven, which is much easier to manifest. But then the mind jumps in and it says, well, let's reverse engineer that driving a Cadillac. Let's put it out on the table and take all the parts out. What is it that we need to do to get that Cadillac? And then it will take you through all the different parts that are required to put that vision together. So you're in the morgue most of the time with your mind rather than in the living vibration of that creation unfolding, which is fabulous, because it's almost as if the mind wants to, well, it's a fabulous explanation, I should say. The mind wants to kill it and pull it apart rather than giving you the opportunity to really experience it, which is why manifestation and creation often takes so long and seems so process-driven, mm-hmm. rather than quite instantaneous and simple.
Give us an example of what people can do, if there is one, in terms of manifesting something very easy that they can practice with, because I think it really takes a quantum shift in how we experience, how we think, how we perceive, to be able to do what the masters are suggesting. Because, you know, it gets wrapped up in, if some say that time isn't linear and it's everything's happening at the same time. So, Rebecca, if everything's happening at the same time, does everything that could possibly happen already exist? And it's a matter of us reaching out and tapping it versus creating it.
Well, it's not even a matter of reaching out and tapping it, because there's no distinction between the totality of consciousness that you are and all of those things that are available, because even that is very difficult for our mind to wrap around our minds. If all of those possibilities exist, they actually exist within our own consciousness. So therefore, if something naturally arises and you have a desire to have an experience with something and you know that it's of the divine, when it's not purpose-driven. I wish to have the experience of sitting in a Cadillac and feeling what that feels like, rather than I want to have the experience of driving a Cadillac so that. Mm-hmm. When that arises from you very naturally, that's from spirit, that's from the divine. And in that, because it is risen from within you, it already exists within you as a possibility. So because you are in joy and curiosity with that in that moment, it now has an opportunity to express itself and project itself into your reality. And the reason that it can do that is because your mind has not taken that idea and gone, right, let's put it on the autopsy table and take it all apart and figure out what we need to do. So it kills it already. The mind kills the creation as soon as it starts to say, what do I need to do this?
It sounds like what we need to do then is get out of the way of God choosing to experience it itself through us and through things that are happening inside of us.
Yes. And this is why so many people will say that when they really step into their true creativity, it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this idea come from? I don't know. I just had an idea that I'd like to experience this. And there it is. But the point is that the mind is the one that's waiting to see when it's going to happen. The mind's the one that says, this is the way that it needs to happen. Whereas the divine within you just says, oh, yes, I'm curious about that. And then you let it go and then you move into the next spontaneous arising of curiosity. And in that way, it can just show up in the most natural and perfect way because your mind's not trying to do an autopsy on it.
You know, we were talking about Elvis before we got on the air, and he's an example of a singer who was so effortless that I always think, I hear certain artists and they're like, they're channeling, like Mozart, Elvis, even Michael Jackson in terms of the singing, even a Mick Jagger, because he's never phones it in on any song. And it just, and it's so unique, whether you like his performance or not, but it seems like there's certain entertainers where you can almost feel the spirit come right through them. And they're kind of not getting in the way.
Right. Their mind's not sitting there saying, well, which song's coming up next and which chords do I need to play and what steps do I need to make on the stage? That's when you start to move into flow. And now you're a representative of divine consciousness in expression, creating something in the world, which is what we're designed to do.
Perfect. Okay. So I guess the best thing that folks can do, and my special guest once again is Rebecca Dawson Chandler from Australia and now the US, is to kind of get out of our own way and not overthink everything and don't think about collecting objects, but think about having experiences and wondering how to allow the divinity to work through us to get the most out of life.
Yes. It's allow the curiosity to arise in that moment. The possibility is born. And even when something spontaneous happens, the mind will go, well, I wonder how that happened. And it will go back in retrospect. And it will say, oh, well, that led to that, that led to that, that led to that. But that's not actually how it happened. That's mm-hmm. how the mind interprets how it happened, because it needs to reverse engineer everything. And in this way, if you consider it, the mind actually works backwards. Even if it's trying to be strategic and think forwards, it can only think forwards based upon thinking backwards. How would this have occurred? So it's fascinating. It can't actually, your mind actually can't create anything.
How about visualizing though? For instance, I'm working with my son. He's having trouble diving in the water. He's a great little swimmer, but he has trouble diving. And I'm like, you've got to visualize yourself making the dive perfectly. And he can't visualize. So far, he's not been able to visualize that. And I'm like, that's the key. If you can't see yourself doing that, how can you do it? Now, that's not looking back. He's looking back because he's putting a block there. But people need to look ahead. And is visualization a helpful tool for people?
Well, it can be.
Or is that too, particularly is that too
because
controlling?
It can be. But remember that if you're visualizing, you're also oftentimes going into a memory system. So you have a reference. Do I know what it looks like to be able to dive well? And particularly in young people, because they operate so much more in the present moment, they might not be able to visualize something that they don't have a personal memory or reference for. So in that regard, I would suggest to your young man that you invite him to imagine what it will feel like when you can do the perfect dive, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to produce that experience for
that's
him.
That's perfect. I needed that. Thank you so much. Now, I'm wondering, my special guest, once again, Rebecca Dawson, a channel from Australia and now USA. Can we talk to the masters? I have a couple of questions. Hopefully we can get to two
of
or
course.
Three. I've got about yes. five for them.
All
and
right.
I thank them already. And I thank you.
Thank you
always.
For having us. We are here. Okay. Do you want to start with a question, Robert?
Sure. Okay. Why are people so extreme these days? It seems like, you have cold water immersion. You have people very heavily into fasting. You have extreme sports, extreme fitness, extreme. Everybody's doing things to extreme right now. Is this part and parcel to leading up the tension that's leading up to massive changes that may be going to happen on our planet?
Greetings to you. We are with you. And we very much enjoy your question because it's incredibly indicative of the experience that humanity is having at this time, not only collectively, but also in the personal experience. And let us explain our view of this phenomena. Humanity, as it becomes more expanded in its collective vibration, this is what humans call the awakening. In our view, it's an expansion of your capacity to experience and to feel and to sense. When you move from a very dense experience of third dimensionality, you're not shifting from one paradigm necessarily into another. You're actually widening the bandwidth of your vibration so that you can expand beyond it, but you can still see it, you can still sense it, you can still touch it and taste it. So in this regard, as your vibration expands and you expand beyond the limitation, you can still interact and create there, but you are embracing it within the totality of yourself. In other words, the density, the significance, the severity of that previous life that you knew now becomes something you hold within your expression. It no longer contains you, now you contain it. So if you consider that your expression within human vibrational experience is not about moving from a dense vibration on a linear spectrum to a very fine vibration, you're not moving from one spectrum to the other, you're widening your bandwidth of perceptibility, you begin to realize that that is the same as turning up the volume in intensity of all of your experiences. So, of course, for any awakening human, it can become disconcerting if suddenly you begin to feel grief more than you did before or anger more than you did before. And it's not that it's more frequent for you, it's that the intensity is much more obvious. And it is the same with joy and love and excitement and so on. It becomes very intense. So you do not move from low density experiences to high density experiences. You increase the volume on all of those experiences. And because your bandwidth has increased, those experiences are not held for so long, which means you can have flashes of anger or fear, which seem very intense, but also flashes of love and excitement and joy that are also intense. But you're not stuck anywhere in there because now you're encapsulating the reality. So likewise, in your question about such activities that seem to embody the sense of extreme, this is highly indicative of the waking in human because they now have a capacity to experience the extreme with intensity, and it can make you feel more alive and more present and more vibrant because intensity is now the hallmark of your vibration. And so therefore you are participating in activities that resonate with the intensity of your vibration.
Amazing. Thank you. Second question. Today's children, we touched on my son with Rebecca a few minutes ago, and I'm just wondering, because I coach on the baseball team and I take my son to swimming, and it's a bunch of 10-year-olds, and they just seem different nowadays. I don't know if it's because I'm older, but what is going on with the challenges with kids nowadays, and how can we help them as parents and adults?
Well, we can see the expression in your mind, children are not as tough as they used to be.
I don't know about that. They're tough in different ways, I think.
But in terms of what they feel. Mm-hmm. So children, as we have just expressed in the widening of the bandwidth conversation, these children that you are experiencing, they sense so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And because they sense so much more, not only can it be confusing when they are asked to focus in one particular direction, focus on this sense, but not that sense, focus on what's happening here within your sensorial view, not on the entire view. It can often be viewed that children are confused with their sense or their attention or what it is that they desire, but it also means that they feel so much more. So if they feel fear, they feel it very intensely.
That's true.
If they feel anger, they feel it very intensely. Mm-hmm. And so this phenomena of anxiety in children, let us not underestimate how their capacity for sense has been interpreted as having high anxiety. And yet what you will notice often with these children is the anxiety is there. And if it's not focused on for too long, if the adult doesn't come in and say, this is a problem, let's focus on this problem, that nuance of anxiety, that moment of anxiety quickly moves to something else.
More anxiety in an anxious way or moves to another topic?
Move to another intense experience along that spectrum of reality.
So what can we do to help these kids?
Help them to understand that the volume of what they experience is very high. The question is not how do we turn down the volume, because you don't want to really dull their capacity to sense.
Exactly.
What you want to show them is that they have the ability with their focus to move from that particular intensity to that particular intensity, because it's all available. Whereas how humans have previously viewed this is in order to move out of that intensity, you have to decrease the volume down to very, very, very low, and then you might be able to experience something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Third question, and probably the last one, because we're getting tight on time, but I want to get this in. Everybody's talking about disclosure and ETs and that they're walking amongst us and are there frog people and this and that. There's so much information coming out now that I think it's almost too much for people to process. And there's a lot of talk about what happens if this being manipulated, will we get false flag operations? Will this be, you know, if ETs show up, are they there to help us? Are they there to hurt us? People aren't going to know what to do. There's going to be a lot of confusion and missed messages. My question, Masters, is what can people do to be discerning and to be prepared for what's going to inevitably happen so we best handle it in a way that's good for everybody?
We very much enjoy your question, and let us answer it in this way. As we have previously discussed, there are multiple realities and multiple versions of the current Earth experience, the more that humanity's consciousness expands. Now, collectively, as you move out of this encapsulated third, fourth dimensional closed system of reality, you begin to widen beyond it, because remember, your vibration is expanding, humanity's vibration is expanding. So naturally, you become aware of what exists beyond the boundaries of that encapsulated Earth reality. So it is inevitable that these topics and these experiences are going to be flooding the collective consciousness. Of course, it also needs to be taken into consideration that depending on your own personal sense of reality, you will experience that in different ways. For example, one who is in a very fear-based survival expression will sense and view that in a particular way. Someone who is very expanded within their own sense of awareness and loves to explore and is very curious will experience it in that particular way. So the topic itself, of course, it's inevitable that it's flooding your collective field. The question is not how is humanity going to experience this? In our view, the wiser question is, how do I want to experience this? Mm-hmm. Well, because it will entirely depend on your own personal vibratory sense.
I love it. I want to interview ETs. I want to get to know them if they're benevolent, of course. And even the ones that aren't, so it'd be interesting to know what drives them. But
that can be arranged.
Well, thank you, Masters. I'm very appreciative of your time and being here. Rebecca, do we want to shift into about your work, and because we're kind of winding down now on time. Forgive me, Masters. I don't want to be rushing
out. It is our joy to be with you.
I apologize. Thank you.
No, not at all. I just always like to
I know. Forgive me. I the time got away from me here.
No problem.
But thank you. So tell us, tell everybody out there, Rebecca Dawson, where people can find out more about you and learn more about the Masters and learn about your work.
So I have a website, which is my name, RebeccaDawson.com, and there's lots and lots of free content on there. And I also have a membership where you can engage with the Masters several times a month in seminars and conversation groups. The two conversations that you spoke of today are both on YouTube. That was Upgrade Your Reality and Themes for 2024. So I have a YouTube channel, which is called Rebecca Dawson Channeler. And yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to explore a lot there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for being on the show again. And
thank you, Robert.
You're always welcome on Guys Guys Radio. Thank you, everybody. Rebecca Dawson.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, a terrific conversation once again with Rebecca Dawson and the Masters. The Masters have such insight, such love for us. And for humanity, I felt bad that I had to like wrap up the conversation with an interdimensional collective because we're running out of time on the terrestrial radio show. But that's how it goes. And I think that two key takeaways from our conversation with Rebecca and the Masters today is one, about 2024, if it looks like things are getting choppy and going sideways, think about the changes kind of that are going to happen that are going to be good, like what's growing, the new stuff that's growing. Don't focus on what's being let go. Focus on what's coming up that's going to be new and better for us. The other thing I picked up that I think is important for us is that when we're working with manifestation, it's important to kind of get out of the way and not try so hard to control the process and let spirit work through us to make things happen. And to be able to do that, we have to kind of step outside of ourselves and kind of witness things in the present moment, not be always kind of analyzing everything after it happens. So two key points there to consider moving forward. Guys, Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening on KCAA Radio in Southern California at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM. The show rebroadcasts every Sunday on KCAA at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The podcast, YouTube, and Rumble post worldwide throughout the day on Thursday. And we're on UK Health Radio all weekend long, four times every weekend, as well as on demand. I also write a column for UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine. It's a digital magazine. It's called Aging is a Choice. And it's about my personal journey to staying vital and healthy as I age. And I think you'll enjoy it. And it goes back to my health challenges I've had over the past decade. And I'm doing great. So thank you if you were thinking about that. My website also features 300 blog posts. It's called robertmanny.com, M-A-N-N-I. I've got over 300 blog posts about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness, so much of the subject matter we cover here on Guys Guys Radio, as well as the Aging is a Choice series also appears on my website. You can also download three free chapters of my novel, The Guys Guys Guide to Love, which is a sexy romp through the fast-moving, high-stakes world of Madison Avenue advertising. It's been called the male successor to Sex and the City. It's a rom-com. It's about two guys really competing for love, sex, power, and money. It's fast, it's fun, it's frothy, it's sexy, and it's about something. So I think you'll enjoy it. Again, check out three free chapters, and then you can pick up the physical copy or the digital copy of the book. So we're here every week for you on Guys Guys Radio. I got so many guests lined up with so much information to share with you. And that's what we do here. We put the information out there and then you determine what you want to do with it, if anything. And hopefully it's informative, entertaining, and user-friendly for you. So I can't wait to get to the rest of the shows this year because there's so many cool guests coming up. And I think you're really going to enjoy your ride with us on Guys Guys Radio. And if you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week to the show, please support us by simply subscribing, rating, reviewing on all of our platforms. And if you can, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And there you can watch my interviews with all of our guests. It's just the interview portion of the show, but it's there on YouTube and Rumble.
So thank you so much for being here and allowing me into your, wherever you may be, but into your world for a short period of time. I really appreciate that and try to bring you information like a good house guest. I try to bring something along to the party. I want to thank all my wonderful 700 plus guests I've interviewed over the last few years. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, my strategy lead, Ryan, and most of all, I want to thank you, my wonderful audience. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. I'm going to see you again next week. And until then, like I always like to say, guys, finish first.